Good day, friends. We're back again to your house, and we want to talk to you now as we continue on in this unique series that we've entitled Living Oracles. You know, we talked about how we're going to overcome temptation on the broadcast last time, and today we want to talk about religion. And when we get into the subject of religion, of course, this deals with the church, and we believe, as we talk to you from the Bible, that the church is in God's marvelous plan. We're talking about the church that Jesus referred to in Matthew 16:18, when he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Someone might say, what church is that? Well, it's his church. It belongs to him. Well, someone says, where are you going to find it? Well, we suggest as we open the Bible today that we find it in the Bible. The first thing that must be done, we have to find out what the Bible says about religion, what it says about the church, and then we seek, after we find out about this, to try to find that type of circumstance in the world today. I want to let you in on something. As we began, we believe in the Church of Christ, that we're trying to follow what the Bible teaches. Now, the church does not belong to us. We look upon it as the body of Christ, as the Bible teaches in Ephesians 1:22-23. And I'm not saying that I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. I'm just simply saying that the Bible is right. And I believe this is a fair proposition as we look at the living oracles to find out what the Lord says about religion. We're in this book of James, and if you weren't with us last time, we're in that first chapter, and we're going to look at the last part of the first chapter now for the next few minutes. Here's a wonderful verse that ends the chapter that I'm sure you've read before. James, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, just says pure religion. That means unmixed religion and undefiled before God. So that qualifies it greatly. It has to be pure, it has to be unmixed, and it has to be undefiled before God and the Father. He says, here's what it is. And then he mentions two things that I think you can see have outstanding merit: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Breaking this down, we understand that visiting the fatherless and widows in their affliction would indicate helping our fellow man. I can't think of a class of people that under certain circumstances would be any more in need of help than the fatherless and the widows. So I believe we can say that we have an example here taken from everyday life that would indicate that if our religion is going to be pure, if it's going to be what the Lord has in mind, then we've got to, the word visit here means to care for, to oversee, to be concerned about. And keep in mind that not the only good deed we can do is visiting the fatherless and widows, caring for them, assisting them. That's included in it. But it also indicates that we must have the type of concern for our fellow man that we believe that the good Samaritan had for the man who fell among the thieves. You remember that story that Jesus told. If the man who fell among thieves was a Jew, then this adds a real emphasis to the story, because the priest and Levite, who were of his own nation, passed by on the other side of the road because he was a mess there. He'd been beaten up. He needed more than first aid. But then the good Samaritan came along, who in daily life, the man who was beaten up, if he were a Jew, would have looked upon this Samaritan probably as a dog. But the Samaritan bridged a lot of gaps there. He went over, he helped the man, administered first aid to him, got him into the inn, which would be like a hospital or a first aid station, and he paid for his care. And he said, now, if this is not enough, when I come back, I'll take care of it. So here was a duty. Here was, we might say, an opportunity to render service to one's fellow man who was in need. That man may have died out there if he'd been left unattended. But here was a real obligation to our fellow man, and it's loving our neighbors, ourselves, that Jesus talked about. Now, that's one of the aspects. Then the other one is to keep himself unspotted from the world. Generally, when we think of someone being unspotted from the world, we think of some type of moral conduct. Well, it includes that. Love not the world, neither things are in the world. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. John continues to say that these things will pass away. They're not of the Father, they'll pass away, but he that doeth the will of the Lord will abide forever. You'll find that in 1 John, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17. But there's another aspect here. It also refers to the fact that this religion that he's talking about, and we can say the church that he's talking about, is one who follows what the Bible teaches. And that's what we're trying to do in the Church of Christ. We're trying to follow that not alone in name, but we're also trying to follow it in practice. But you see, because we say this, this doesn't really make us right. We've got to prove this by our activity and our works. Now, I realize since we are to be judged as individual Christians, we can't look at a congregation or we can't look at the church in general and find somebody here in a certain place that's not doing what he should. You see, there are people who do not play the game of life according to the rules. James, of course, had a lot to say about this, and the Apostle Paul did too. Paul mentioned very definitely to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 that he feared, lest by any means, as the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so their minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. So what we are to look for in religion is truly where there is being an application of following God's will, worshiping him according to the Bible, having chapter and verse for the things that we do as a church, as a congregation, as a Christian, and then also to find where there is the compassion, the concern, and the willingness to assist those who are in need. So I believe that we should look for this in the world today. You know, a lot of times people are looking for the church, and some of them dismiss it by just simply saying, well, it doesn't make any difference about the church, and doesn't make any difference about religion, just believe in God, and that's all that's necessary. But you see, the devils believe and tremble, and the concept that one has that the church is non-essential cannot be proven by the New Testament people. As we talk here in your home, as though we're having that conversation today in your family circle, you look for a scripture in the Bible that would even indicate to you that Jesus Christ or the apostles ever indicated that the church, that Jesus died to purchase with his own blood, is non-essential to salvation. Well, someone says, where does it say that it is? Well, I'll give you a scripture that will indicate this strongly. In Acts 2:47, the book simply says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then when you begin to think about what the church really is, when you begin to think of it from the standpoint of its link here with religion, binding man back to God, his devotion to God, you find that the church is undoubtedly the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Well, what someone says, what does that mean? Well, in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it mentions that God placed Christ to be the head of the church, which is his body. And you see, when we obey the gospel, like in Galatians 3, 27, where it's referring to the completion of their obedience, when Paul said to the Galatians, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, they put him on spiritually. All right, this is the religion that truly is taught in the Bible. So we believe that we have to be a part of Jesus Christ to be saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Just as in the days of Noah, there was no salvation on the outside of the ark. There were 8 souls saved by water, but the water was used to take the sin away. But they were also saved by the ark. Now someone says, well, you mean to tell me that if a person joins the church, that that's going to save him eternally? Well, in the first place, we don't have anyone joining the church. The closest you can come to that, in the 9th chapter of Acts, when Saul of Tarsus eventually was won to Christ, and he come back to Jerusalem, you remember, he essayed or attempted to join himself to the disciples. But really, in the Bible term, we do not find people joining the church. It isn't like a civic organization or a service organization, you join it. But you obey the gospel, and then the Lord that takes your sin away is the same one that adds you to the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the point is simply this, that it's not my religion, it's not your religion. It's not your church, it's not my church, but it is the Lord's church. And we can truthfully say that even though there are some people who may miss the boat, they obey the gospel, they do what the Bible says to become a Christian, but then these people fall away. They turn their back upon the Lord, just like the man in the 25th chapter of Matthew that buried his talent. He was a servant. He would truly be looked upon as being one who was a Christian, as we make the application in the church and in Christianity today, but he lost his soul because he buried his talent. Now, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the church. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with religion, because you can single out some person or people who did that. Any more than would there be something wrong with the Bible if you could do that. See, the person obeyed the gospel, but then he failed to follow it. That means there's something wrong with him, not with the gospel. It doesn't mean the gospel is not essential. And the same thing is true with the church. People can point out shortcomings in the church. You know, it isn't too difficult for a person to find something wrong with you and wrong with me. You see, they found a lot of things wrong with Jesus. Of course, they weren't true. They were based upon a falsehood. And I'm sure people are going to say things about you and about me as we attempt to live for the Lord. This is certainly to be expected. Now, if those things are true, we'd better make the correction. If they're not true, let's truly pray for them and let's go on and live the Christian life. Now, we have in this message today just simply opened up a thought regarding pure religion. And I believe it's in the world today. An unmixed religion, that which is not mixed with teaching of the world. So we set up this principle for your consideration. If you're going to be a Christian, don't act in worship or in, we might say, life until you have Scripture for the thing you're going to do. Now, in the Church of Christ, we believe the Bible ought to be emphasized. We believe that certainly we should have Scripture in the Bible before we can actually act. That's why we have the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week. Acts 20:7, the disciples come together to break bread, give as we're prospered. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, and pray and sing. These things must be based on the Bible, and then go forth to serve the Lord. So what we're really doing in your family circle today in talking to you is we're trying to point out what God has given, and the Bible must have the final say. Someone said one time it's the referee in the great game of life. It calls the terms and calls, we might say, the things that are to be done. Well, think about this lesson. It's a living oracle. It's found in this wonderful writing of James that can be practiced in your life. Listen for time of services if you want to attend the Church of Christ, and we hope you will. And also be with us next time telling a friend and neighbor about this broadcast and our informal study with you of the living oracles.